responsibility is so good. It feels so natural.
What's something you've written and you've just gone, I can't know?
You can look at it and kind of try and learn from the things you've been through.
You write songs, right?
I've read that a few times too. I know, we've sold that many records.
This week we hear from golfer and eyeline wearer Alice Cooper about his new supergroup, Hollywood Vampires, a motley crew of little-known folk like Johnny Depp and Joe Perry. As well, NWA's Ice Cube takes us behind the scenes of the most successful music biopic of recent times, Straight Outta Compton. But first up, the Black Keys' Dan Auerbach talks about his new project, The Arcs, and the making of their debut record, Yours Dreamily.
Yeah, it was a totally different process because these guys are such songwriters, such chord people, so great with melodies. It was a very new experience for me working with these guys. You know, they just do a lot of things that I don't even do. You know, it was really fun to get into the studio. Yeah, and it was just a complete collaboration. Every day we get in there, we'd have nothing, and by the end of the day, the goal was to leave with a song or two finished.
Yeah, you know? And that's got to be fun for you. Was it an enjoyable experience? I guess without the commercial restraints of perhaps making a Black Keys record.
Well, Pat and I never really felt pressured. I mean, honestly, we're pretty much completely free and our own bosses when we're in the studio making our records. But this is just different because it's different personnel. It's different people. Not only are they my favorite musicians, they're also, like, my favorite people, too. You know what I mean? So it really is kind of ridiculous. I'm just kind of hanging out with my friends making music, you know? And now we're doing... And now it's, like, turned into this whole thing, you know? Because we made records for years, but we never played anything in front of people.
Yeah.
So now, after 6 years of doing this like recording project, we're now playing shows, doing rehearsing. It's interesting. It's kind of fun to see where this arcs thing is taking all of us.
I'm interested lyrically where you were at when you're writing these songs. Out of My Mind, we're playing lots of here on Double J. And looking at the lyrics, it's pretty harsh and perhaps, you know, quite a tough song all about all the things that you've missed on the way to the top, perhaps if I take a very literal interpretation of it. I'm not sure. Where are you at with those lyrics? Where was that coming from for you?
Well, Leanne and I wrote that song, and we wrote it about someone that we know.
No clues, come on.
No way, hell no, I could never tell you.
Yeah, is there a bit of that on this record? I sort of, listening to it, I feel like there's a lot of things being said without being said that might be good for you to get off your chest, perhaps. I don't know, I could be wrong.
Maybe. I mean, I didn't hold anything back, although I don't feel like I said anything crazy. Do you know what I mean? I don't feel like I said anything that wasn't on people's minds.
Yeah.
Generally, anyway, I want to like give up and go hide out in the basement. I mean, most people feel like that at least once or twice a day.
Yeah.
I've never taken a project just to make money. Pat and I hadn't even thought about writing a catchy tune until we were like 6 albums deep in our catalog.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I've always done just exactly what I want to do, or worked with the people who I want to work with. So that's never been an issue, I don't think. Necessarily.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's good to hear. What about Black Keys? How's Patrick's his shoulder, wasn't it, or his collarbone?
It's good.
Is he better? Is it all back on track?
It's good. He doesn't seem to have it. Honestly, he doesn't even, like, he's not affected in any way.
Yeah.
At all. He can't lift his right arm up above his shoulder. Kind of stops there now. He didn't have to do that when he drummed anyway, so really nothing has been affected. He doesn't even feel sore when he wakes up after a show.
That's good. And do you think you'll be able to bring the Black Keys back to Australia? Because you sadly had to cancel when that all went down earlier in the year.
I mean, I always seem to go back to Australia. Even though I tell myself I'm never doing that fucking flight ever again. I always tell myself I'll never do it again. Never.
Yeah.
And then I'm back on that plane. Yeah, we played our very first show. It may have been on our second record, but it could have been on our first.
Yeah.
And it was, we played our first show in Perth. At like a biker club. And I remember like mid-song, Pat's drum stool broke in half, and he just fell backwards on his head. And he was really embarrassed.
I bet.
But he was also really jet-lagged. So like the jet lag made the embarrassment, it escalated into the embarrassment.
What would you tell those young men now with all the experience that you have and all the things you've gone through? What would you tell those young green guys who are coming out to Australia for the first time and kicking off their recording career?
I wouldn't bother them.
Let them go.
I mean, haven't you seen Back to the Future? You can't interact with yourself in the past. I mean, haven't we learned anything from Michael J. Fox?
You're right. What's your favorite moment on this record? I know that's a hard question to ask. I guess
favorite moment on this record.
What moment pleases you the most when you hear it? You go, that was amazing. That works perfectly.
Put a Flower in My Pocket is really special to me. That's just a special song.
Why?
Not just because it does so many things that I love, and it's only something that the Arcs could have done. I couldn't have done that myself.
What's that?
Never in a million years would I have come up with those chords. That's the beauty of a collaboration. You benefit from you know, it's like two heads are better than one kind of thing. And when you're in the studio and working with people that you really respect and that really great musicians, it's just so exciting because like something like that can just happen out of the blue. Put a Flower in Your Pocket happened like we just started playing it. And it just happened. We could barely get the engineer to press record fast enough. Like, he was still setting up microphones. And the song was just coming out. It was ridiculous.
Wow. And that keyboard sound is pretty mean on that as well.
Absolutely. You know, and it's so... There's hardly anything going on in that track. And it's live. It's cut live for the most part, you know. But yeah, the guitar player... I played bass on that track, but the guitar player, Russ Paul, he's a Nashville guy. He played on, like, the Lana record with me. He played on the Bombino record, and he's just a Nashville badass, great musician, space cowboy kind of guy. He had to teach me how to play those chords.
Really?
Because I had no idea what they were.
Well,
yeah, because they're like real jazzy chords, and I couldn't even. Leon and I were with the guitar; we couldn't figure out how to play them. All I know.
Miff's Best Bits on Double J.
Alice Cooper is back with his band of pirates, including Jack Sparrow, nonetheless Johnny Depp, that form a big supergroup called Hollywood Vampires, which is an old group that happened back in the 70s, and they've reformed with new members, obviously, this time around. And I caught up with Alice Cooper, where he told me how the likes of Paul McCartney, Joe Perry and Johnny Depp got on board.
Doing a movie with Johnny Depp, then 35 years later, you know, we're doing Dark Shadows, and Johnny's a great guitar player. And Johnny could play. Johnny was a really good guitar player. So we kind of thought of Johnny as more of a guitar player than an actor.
Do you reckon it's a nice little release for him, in a sense, because I guess he's so famous.
It's his first love.
Yeah, it's so famous in the other sense as an actor, and I imagine that must get a bit tiresome. It must be nice to play with a bunch of people that don't care about his acting. In fact, what they care about is his other skill, which is guitar.
You know, and when he gets on stage, the funny thing is, when he gets on stage, he just kind of like stands in the middle with the other guitar players. He doesn't want to be the guy that stands in the front. He doesn't want to be the guy that's sort of, hey, everybody, it's Johnny Depp. So at that point, we started talking about, we were all sober at this point.
Yeah.
You know,
well,
Johnny became sober.
Isn't it?
I was sober. Joe Perry was sober. And we started talking about, well, why don't we actually do a record and honor our dead drunk friends? We started thinking about what songs, and we went over to Johnny's house, and he had a recording studio. And Bob Ezrin says, well, I'll put some stuff on tape for you, my producer. And pretty soon it just went, it was like a snowball rolling down a hill. You know, pretty soon Brian Johnson says, you know, I want to play on this song.
Yep.
David Grohl says, well, I want to be on that. You know, and everybody, and then McCartney walks in. And we're all sitting there going, that's Paul McCartney.
How was Macca? Did he enjoy the experience? He looked like he was having fun on that short video.
Oh, you could tell by the recording that he was just having, you know, at the very end, he just kept playing on it. And you could tell by everybody was just laughing in the background. When he got there, we did everything live in the studio.
Yeah.
It was like a live band. We didn't just like overdub this and overdub that. Johnny was on guitar. Abe, his drummer, was on drums. Joe Perry was on guitar. I was singing. He just sat down at the piano and said, let's go.
Given the nature of the music industry and the fact that you've been in it for so long, is the kind of the reason behind this project also for you to be able to get back to basics again, to do stuff live, to do stuff without, I guess, the pressure of the industry, just to do it for fun?
We all decided at this point that none of us need the money.
Yeah.
We're going to do this. It'll be a charity event. We'll do it for a hearing aid company. There's a lot of kids out there that never heard anything. I think that it would be really ridiculous if we all were doing it for the money.
Yeah.
Because that would just be greedy, you know?
But do you think that's given you a little bit of creative freedom as well? Like, is that a nice feeling to be able to not worry about all of that?
Yeah, and it is. And my manager, Chef Gordon, and, you know, is sort of took the reins on this thing and said, this is not an Alice Cooper album. This is a Hollywood Vampires album. And who's ever on it is doing it because they want to be on it and because they kind of get the idea of who the vampires were.
Yeah.
And they want to honor those guys that were legends. You know, I kind of like the idea that it's a really hard rock guitar album.
Mm.
It's not a wimpy album. It's a really, we took songs that were great songs, like Ichiku Park and
yep.
songs like Jeepster and songs like that. And I said, I want to do these like the originals, but I want to toughen them up because I think rock needs to get hard again. I'm tired of soft rock.
I love that. From the mouth of Alice Cooper, rock music needs to get hard again.
Well, you know what's funny? There's two or three bands, when I hear young bands and they said, well, what should we do? We're going to have an accordion in our band and we're going to have a banjo. And I go, why? I said, I want you to listen to Jet. That's a band. That's a hard rock band. Let's get hard rock again. Let's put some swagger in our walk rather than, you know, being just a sort of, I just want to sing about politics. I want to sing about how bad oil is and all. And I'm going, who cares? Write about your girlfriend.
Write about your girlfriend. You've written two originals for the album, so it's not all covers, and one of which was Dead Drunk Friends, which you spoke of before. Obviously, there's some, you know, sort of sadness and truth behind that actual song. Like, it's not a fun song.
Right, you know, but it ends up being like a drunk pirate song. You know, we fight and we puke and we drink and we puke and we fight. And when we were doing that, you know, I kind of looked at Johnny and I said, I need a little Jack Sparrow in this, you know. And he totally got it. And, you know, yeah, it does have a melancholy thing to it. But it's got a sense of humor to it also.
Yeah, I'm interested, Alice, just to wind it up. You sound like, you know, with your age and experience, you're actually feeling like you want to get louder and you're more passionate about the music you make. Do you think?
Yeah, I have never outgrown it.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I went to see The Who recently and Pete Townsend, his knuckles are still bleeding because he hits his guitar so hard and he's doing the windmill and he's banging into his amps. And I looked at everybody and I said, that's the spirit of rock and roll right there. So I'm never going to ever go unplugged, or I'm never gonna tone it down.
Know there's a number of ways to listen to Double J. You can hear it on our website at doublej.net.au, listen through the ABC Radio app on your mobile, find it on your digital radio, or listen to it anytime on your TV. Double J, it's everywhere you are.
I was pretty lucky to sit down with NWA's Ice Cube when he was in the country to promote what's already hailed as the most successful music biopic of all time. Fairly good effort. Straight Outta Compton is the name of the movie, if you weren't aware, although it's been plastered everywhere over the last couple of weeks, I'm sure you are. And we had a great catch-up, actually, me being a fan of NWA when I was a young thing growing up in the country. They were fairly pivotal in terms of my music education and broadening my outlook on the world. So it was quite a pleasure to catch up with him. And we talked about, initially, the film's premise.
My ride has been such a magnificent one. You know, I would tell the young Ice Cube to just keep doing what you're doing. Keep your convictions, stay on your own path, you know, be your own man, and be proud of what you do. You know, don't do anything in this business that you're going to be ashamed of.
Yeah. Was there some stuff that you might have been ashamed of in at any time, or stuff that maybe you might feel not as comfortable about now as 25 years down the track?
I mean, you know, when you're young, you really don't worry about stuff like that. You know, at this point, you know, you look back, of course, there's things you would have changed, did different, but not too many things, you know. I always look at the music and the movies and things that I did in the past as time capsules, you know, as a slice of, you know, if you want a slice of 89, you get the Straight Outta Compton album.
Totally. So it's my 1989.
You know, so these are ways for us to go back in time.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't change too many things.
Yeah, well, it's all learning, isn't it? And
yes.
And what a wonderful result, the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's so exciting to watch, and it's great to hear those sounds in a beautiful audio environment as
yes.
well. It seems particularly timely at the moment, a film such as this, given mm-hmm. what's going on in America, the gun violence, the systemic inequality yeah. that still exists in,
yes.
within the community. How did you know this was the right time to release this movie and get people to think about this stuff again?
Well, unfortunately, you know, any time is the right time now. You know, these problems have been going on before NWA, and unfortunately they're going on after NWA. So it's always the right time to bring this up. Unfortunately, that is still timely.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that tells us what we need to do different as humans to change our situation, because we're all in this together when it's all said and done. So I think people are taking actions. You know, there's more awareness. You know, when an officer steps over the line, you know, the least that happens is public shame. You know, when they're broadcast all over the world as being a jerk or whatever, or even being a killer, you know, in some cases.
Yeah.
So I think that's a start. Now it's all about prosecuting and making a deterrent for officers that's thinking about crossing the line.
Mm. Working on the movie, you got your son involved
yes.
to play you. He didn't get an easy ride.
No.
You didn't just hand that to him. I know that much.
Mm-hmm.
How was that experience, working with your son so intimately about your life?
It was so great because he never complained. He did everything we asked him to do, and we ran him through the ringer. You know, he really had the hardest time landing the role out of anybody because I wanted him to totally earn it. You know, I couldn't give it to him. He had to earn it. He had to become the best man for the job, and he mm-hmm. did that. So I've been proud of him for the whole process. Just being proud of him before, this adds so many extra layers onto it because he really stepped up for me and our family.
I'm interested, back in 1989, around that time, late 80s, the radio station I worked for, I work for its sister station now, Triple J,
mm-hmm.
had some announcers that were kicked off air for playing Fuck the Police.
Wow.
And then they spent 24 hours playing Express Yourself on loop while they kept people sort of out of the building in
yes.
protest. I was wondering if you were aware of that at the
yes,
time,
I was.
If you'd heard about that, if that information had filtered through.
Yes, it did. You know, and it was happening to a few different DJs all over the world that took a stand and played this record. You know, in America, I knew it, you know, a DJ would never play it, but in places in the world where, you know, profanity is not so, I guess, taboo, it still, you know, caused people to lose their job. And it's really a freedom of speech thing, you know, when it's all said and done. We took hits so the groups behind us wouldn't have to. And some DJs had to do the same thing. And I'm always happy when people stand up. You know, everybody gets knocked down, but you got to stand up.
Because they like to follow the words, the style, the trend, the records I spin again and again. up. It's crazy to see people be...
Catch up with Miff Warhurst for lunch. Weekdays from 11 on Double J.